Welcome to the ALUX.com podcast, the place where future billionaires come to get inspired. Today's topic is 15 things they don't teach you in business school. Hello, ALUXers. How have you been? We feel like everybody's been going super strong these past few months of 2020, and we want you to know we're proud of you, really. In order to keep this momentum today, we'll be taking a look at some things people don't learn, even in the most sophisticated financial institutions. Personally, we've learned more by studying successful people than the outdated strategies and concepts we've learned during business school. After running multiple businesses for a decade now, we've put together a list of things we found super valuable, no matter if you're an entrepreneur or a high-achieving employee. With that said, here are the 15 things they don't teach you in business school, but make all the difference in life. Number 1. Lifestyle design. Nobody is teaching you how to plan your life so you become a successful individual. Business can be the fuel needed to take you to the life you desire, but it can come with a steep price. In business school, they don't mention burnout, that pushing yourself too hard can have a long-lasting effect on your body and mind. The sacrifices you have to make, how in order to be in the top 10% of your industry, you statistically need to double your efforts versus your competitors because they're already putting in 50% more than everybody else just to stay in business. Milestone making. What is normal in your 20s might not work in your 30s. The importance of raising quality children and the impact they have on your life. And how life changes with time. These are big parts of someone's life, both from a personal and a professional perspective, perspectives which usually intertwine with one another. Our advice is for you to take a moment and break down your life by decades, and under each one, write what you consider to be the priorities of each block. For each decade, fill in this structure. 1. What should the majority of my time go toward? 2. What am I willing to sacrifice in the process? And 3. What do I get in return? Do it right now for the next 30 years of your life. At least you'll have something to fall back onto when making your decisions. Number 2. Business plans change quickly. Although they mention pivoting as an option, they never tell you how quickly the market is changing, mostly because the university curriculum is highly conservative. It's very difficult to create a new curriculum every 4 years, especially now, with new platforms and technologies coming to the market so quickly. If you want to be a success today, we need to learn to build the parachute while falling, and once you're close to the ground, redesign it into a car or a boat, depending on what's waiting for you. There's no longer a linear path to success. You need to move quickly. You need to move quickly. We live in a time where people need to constantly reinvent themselves. The old skills will need to be adjusted and used together with new skills if you want to have a competitive advantage. In business school, they always ask you to write a business plan on how the business will do over the next 5 years. The problem we have with this is we've never met a single entrepreneur whose business plan was flawless from the get-go. The biggest problems we identified with business plans are the following. You don't understand the market. You don't understand the customer. You don't understand the real cost needed to get to where you want to go. And all of this is because you don't know what you don't know. Instead, we recommend you use what's called a napkin plan. Your entire business should fit on a napkin. 1. What you do. 2. How do you make money? 3. How do you attract customers? 4. Who builds the product or service, and how much does it cost to do it? And 5. What's your competitive advantage? These 5 questions are the fundamental parts of any business. Everything else is built around these. You don't need fancy business plans. You need to get to work. Number 3. How to self-motivate. A big part of being successful in life is the ability to push yourself forward when you simply don't feel like it. Self-motivation is one of those ingredients that differentiate the real from the pretenders, because when things get tough, only a small portion of the population is willing to push through the pain in order to come out on the other side. Everyone else will simply quit and adjust. Despite being such an integral part of success, there isn't a class on how to do it, mainly because the teachers have no idea how to do it themselves. We plan on doing a detailed video on this sometime in the future because we could talk about it for hours. But in our personal experience, there are only 2 things that have a real impact on your behavior and how motivated you are. 1. A good freaking reason to get out of bed in the morning. And 2. discipline, to trick your body into starting to put in the work even for a small amount of time. Think about it like this. Without a burning goal inside of you, nothing is worth pursuing. Why would you? You need the hunger, the desire, the need to get to a certain level, to acquire the lifestyle you want, the security it'll bring to your children and family, the opportunities you don't have access to right now. Why do you have to do it? What will it mean to achieve it? And then pair it with a self-discipline trick we learned a while back that's worked miracles for us. This single trick right here will do wonders for your productivity if you learn how to use it. Pay close attention. Do it for 5 minutes. Whatever it is you have to do, sit down and give yourself only 5 minutes to focus exclusively on the task at hand. After 5 minutes of effort toward your task, you can stop, but do it for 5 minutes. Here's why this is so magical. Maybe you're feeling lazy and you're well known for your procrastination, but if I asked you to brush only one tooth before bed and you go to the bathroom and brush the one tooth we asked you, would you stop after the one and then go to bed? No, you'd probably keep on going, right? It's the same with everything else in life. People expect this wave of motivation to just come over them, and they go on a working spree, when in reality, it's these little pushes that build up the motivation to keep going. If you're a writer, force yourself to write one page. If you're a photographer, force yourself to take 5 photos. Whatever you do, force yourself to do the smallest increment that you can do, and do it poorly if you have to. Just do it. You know why? Because 1 is greater than 0. Number 4, practice in public. There's this tendency to stick to the book during university. For some reason, they think theory is at least as important as practice, but business is not like that. Business is more like sports, if you can believe it. You don't learn how to run from a book. You don't build up your biceps by reading the cited sources, although you might get a good workout if you keep flexing those big-ass college books they make you buy. There's this level of arrogance coming from academia that doesn't always translate into the real world. You might have the best business plan in the world, and when you go live with the product, you realize that people simply don't like it or don't need it, or they don't like you. Practicing in public might be intimidating, but at least you're getting the realest feedback you can get. No matter what you're doing, put it out there and people will let you know how they really feel about it. To be honest, most of it will be complete trash, but every now and then someone will point out something that's actually valuable. Your job is to be able to filter through the noise. Number 5, as a boss, you set the standard. In order to keep it honest with you, leadership and how to lead people is taught in business school, but more from a managerial perspective, like how to optimize the workflow of your employees in order to get the most productivity out of them without them quitting, while also delivering a soothing working environment. Although you can cultivate leadership, it has to come from within. People are inspired by your actions, not by what you say you'll do. It's rooted so deep in your biology that you can see it most clearly in little kids who choose to mimic their parents and now follow the advice that they give. As the boss, you set the standard. If the mission of the company is good and you feel like you're doing valuable work, it's hard not to be productive. Let's take Elon Musk and Tesla, for example. In times of crisis, Elon slept on the factory floor to personally oversee production. One of the employees was quoted as saying, "It's not hard to put 80 hours in when you see Elon putting in 120. If the employees see you accepting 60% of the quality as good enough, this becomes the new standard, and this is why most companies fail in the long run. There are many books on leadership that we can recommend, but we'll just pick 2 for now. Good to Great by Jim Collins is a very valuable resource for people who are looking to break through in their organizations. And the second one is Start With Why by Simon Sinek. Here's what we would do if we were you. We'd go to alux.com/freebook right now and sign up for Audible. If this is your first time, they'll give you 1 audiobook for free. In the library, search for Good to Great. As for Start With Why, Simon has given a TED Talk on this exact topic a couple of years ago, which is also available on YouTube. That's a massive amount of knowledge you can access for free if you choose to, but it's up to you if you're gonna do it or not. Number 6, business is built on relationships. Almost every big business deal has come up as the result of a relationship that was previously built. People try different suppliers, different partners, different networks, but end up sticking with the one they most vibe with. Hiring people is also about relationships. You're gonna see this person every day of the work week for the foreseeable future. Despite the big tuition fees that they offer, they don't teach you how to effectively build a network of valuable contacts. Instead, they rely on you figuring it out for yourself. In order to keep it 100 with you guys, there's a major benefit to attending high-profile business schools. You're surrounded by people who are as driven as you are, making it a perfect environment to build friendships, which will eventually lead to business relationships. There's even business favoritism between people who went to the same colleges. Getting back to the main point, though, business is overwhelmingly relationship-driven, both internally and externally. Sometimes relationships end up being more valuable than the technical aspects. Number 7. Culture changes renders theory useless. There was a time when the best marketing experts in the world were doing what was considered the golden standard in marketing, targeting the male as the sole breadwinner, their most valuable customer, and crafting the message toward them, even if it came off as completely sexist. Nobody cared. Time goes by and culture changes, rendering their approach not only useless, but offensive today. That's why you see all these brands trying to not offend anyone and morphing their messages as they go along. We're looking at you, Gillette. Number 8. Trust and patience. Good things take time and good relationships need trust. Both of them are hard to teach because they build up as the result of lifelong practice. While both of them are hard to cultivate, trust is more fragile. You can lose your patience once and recover, but if you lose trust, it's almost impossible to come back, especially in this day and age where options are available everywhere. Even in romantic relationships, "I trust you" is greater than "I love you." Take a moment if you need it, and you'll suddenly realize the difference between these two. As for patience, here's where things get a bit more complex. While patience is a virtue, time is gold. You have to learn the distinction between when to wait and when to jump the gun. Number 9. Office politics. There's no university out there that teaches you how to navigate the complex world of office politics. Who agrees with who, who's neutral, how to deal with a lazy but entitled manager, and so on. You're walking on a very thin layer of ice, and you're doing it constantly. Plus, it's a massive time waster. We have the numbers to back it up. 1 in 2 employees thinks that office politics takes away from their productivity and are one of the top 10 stressors in the workplace. 2 in 3 think they would get a lot more work done if coworkers would quit stopping by to chat. 1 in 4 complain that they spend more time in meetings than doing actual work. It really sucks when the reward for doing your job well is getting to finish other people's work because they were unable to. The better you understand social dynamics, work, and rewards according to productivity, the better your organization will do. Number 10. How to focus your mind. Almost everything that makes you, you, resides between those 2 ears of yours. Everything you are and will be in life begins in your mind. Unfortunately for most students, even in business school, they don't teach you how to deal with the stress caused by the life you chose. They don't teach you how to focus your mind to come up with creative answers that add value to your life. They don't teach you how to regulate your emotions and compartmentalize your thoughts. This is why 80% of successful individuals have a practice of daily meditation in their life. They end up spending tens of thousands of dollars per year on high-quality teachers that help them focus their minds to collect those golden nuggets that are buried deep within oneself. A single idea can dramatically change the course of your life. One realization can help you level up and completely alter your future. This has been one of those things that we had to figure out for ourselves, and to this day has had one of the largest impacts on our development, personally and professionally. We took our lifelong personal experience, then took a full year to talk to world experts and break down what's actually working and what's bullshit. And that is how our first premium experience came to be. It's called Mind Mastery, and it's available for purchase at alux.com/mindmastery. It's a 21-day challenge where we take you through everything you need to know. And the feedback we've had from over 1,000 students has been phenomenal. The price for the full 21-day experience is $250, which is less than what a single session with a quality business and meditation coach would cost. Even better, since you're watching the Sunday motivational video, we have a gift for you. If you use the promo code ALEXER at checkout, you'll get 25% off. Just our way of saying thank you. Go to alux.com/mindmastery and see for yourself why this is a no-brainer. Number 11, creating an impression on someone. We've already established that having people like you is an asset, but how do you do it? What goes into creating a quality first impression, and why does it matter this early? It all goes back to trust and showing the other party that you're on the same team they are. Does this mean you have to wear a suit everywhere you go? No, not necessarily, but wearing a suit when other people are wearing one is definitely a plus. The first impression is about letting the other person know that you take them and yourself seriously. You're not there to waste anybody's time, and you're more alike to one another. Recently, we met a lovely couple who, apart from their incredible work ethic, had such an advanced social IQ that people were mesmerized by them. We quickly became friends, and they told us how in the early days of their business, that people loved them so much they decided to invest in them. They now run a multi-million dollar short-term rental company with investors from all over the world. There was no need for them to be something they're not, but like a muscle, their social skills developed in time, allowing them to quickly connect to anyone and make a great first impression. This is a skill that opens up doors where other people would hit a brick wall. Number 12. Nobody cares that you tried. Here's something that will probably hit you like a sack of potatoes. The world is result-oriented. It doesn't care about attempts. It only cares about what gets done. To put it simply, the world doesn't care how hard you try. You're the only one. Effort gets recognized only once it materializes into something tangible. This is why nobody cares about what you plan on doing. The book that you plan to write, the trips you plan on taking, we're all super busy and ain't nobody got time for that wishful thinking of yours. In school, you get praised for your attempts, while in business, if all you do is just attempt, you'll quickly go bankrupt. There are no participation trophies in life. Number 13, trained behavior. They've been trying to tweak this for years to make more sense of the world, yet there still isn't a clear picture of why people behave the way they do. They'll teach you about the laws of economics, about supply and demand, about price elasticity, but we've never learned anything about trained behavior. To put it simply, tiny stakes keep a 2-ton elephant at bay because it worked when they were babies. A trained behavior is something society teaches you when you're young that becomes so instilled in your identity it affects your behavior. Remember when Pepsi tried to introduce the Crystal Cola? It was supposed to have the same taste, but clear. Both Coke and Pepsi spent years teaching customers that cola is supposed to look black or dark in color, so no wonder the concept failed. When KFC went to China, they had a bunch of problems. First, their well-known slogan, "Finger Lickin' Good," got translated to "Eat Your Fingers Off," but this was a marketing mistake. The second one was that they failed to understand how breeders raise local chickens. When sourcing local chickens, they didn't realize the main diet of chickens in China consists of fish, dramatically changing the taste when compared to traditional U.S. poultry. It's important to understand how people will react based on the way they were brought up, their personal story and their journey, the environment that raised them, and the factors that influenced it. Trained behavior is something you should be aware of in yourself. Number 14, data is as important as the customer. Many businesses rely on data to improve their efficiency and increase their profits. Don't get us wrong, we love numbers. Numbers don't lie. They're straightforward and they hold no punches. Yet, if we were to start relying only on numbers to grow our channel, every single thumbnail would include an almost naked hot girl next to a guy and a big red arrow pointing at it. You know the type. In order to keep this video advertiser-friendly, we'll go back to market research and knowing your customer. Data has this power of showing you how people behaved in the past, while talking to your customer gives you some insights into how your customer might behave in the future. There's nothing more important for survival of a business than to see where the world is going, not where the world has been. Get the data, measure it, improve based on it, but make sure to have the vision necessary to adjust for the future. Number 15, when to shut up and how to say no. This is part of social finesse. Some people simply can't read people and they don't teach you how to do it in business school. Knowing when to shut up is sometimes worth millions of dollars. The more sophisticated you become, the less you feel the need to constantly speak despite having nothing to say. As Will Rogers says, never miss a good opportunity to shut up. If you're speaking, value isn't coming in, it's going out. The exact opposite happens when you listen. The second part of this point has to do with saying no. Every time you say yes to something you don't like, you're saying no to something you do. Who cares if they get offended? Who cares if they don't like you? People will try to make themselves happy or successful at your expense. It's up to you to determine if you're willing to make the trade or not. There are a bunch of lessons only you learn in the real world because they come from experience, not from strategies. But with that said, there are some valuable concepts that the elites get to learn in these high-profile institutions that are foreign to most street-smart entrepreneurs. But that's a video for another time. This was a great podcast today, wasn't it? Thank you for spending some time with us and taking another step toward improving the way you look at life. If you're hungry for more, you can always go to our website, alux.com, or subscribe to us on YouTube. The entire alux.com team wishes you a very productive day.